Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our broadcast. I'm William Bell with Fulfill Bible Prophecy, and we're talking today on the subject of Caiaphas the High Priest. Our lesson title was Caiaphas Spotted in the Jewish Synagogue, Discussing the Last Meeting with Christ. We're going to talk about that topic in a moment, tell you a little bit more about why we chose it. Before we get into our discussion, let's first of all give you our number to call in if you should have a question. The number is 646-378-1919. Again, that number is 646-378-1919. So we want you to have the number so that you can call us and get your question on the air. We'll be happy to entertain your question should you have one, as well as any comments that you may have. And we also invite you to offer your criticisms as well. Now, we want to express to you our, or to convey to you the website that we have for you to check out more of our studies, which is at www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's www.lastdays-eschatology.net. And the reason that we are discussing these subjects is because we want to give you more information on this subject that has created such a stir in the religious world today. We have a lot going on in the world, especially in the news, as it talks about the Middle East. So many people are concerned that the commotion that's going on in the Middle East is a sign of the end time, and that at some point in the near future that we're going to experience the end of the world, the end of the age, the coming of the Antichrist, the rapture, the parousia, meaning the second coming of Christ, that the millennium is going to occur, the Battle of Armageddon. All of these things are creating tremendous amount of fear in the hearts and in the minds of people. Furthermore, the support for Israel is in view of this belief that the end is near, and that Israel, that is the modern state of Israel, has some connection with the end time. These are issues that are affecting us politically. They are affecting the men who are dying in Iraq, and they continue to affect various political and other issues that surface in the world, that are part of the world in which we live. So it's very important, because people are going to act according to their prophetic beliefs, and that is one thing that is absolutely a fact. It is true that people are going to act according to their beliefs about prophecy. Now, it doesn't matter whether they are religious or not, because there are many people who are believing that these things have something to do in a way with the end time, who are not necessarily religious people. They simply believe that this is a part of it. And many people have staked their claims on this expectation of an imminent end. So we want to talk about this as we look at our lesson today, when we talk about Caiaphas being spotted in a Jewish synagogue discussing the last meeting with Christ. Now, let me give you the reason why we selected this subject. Primarily, it's because we had hoped that it would get your attention when we talk about Caiaphas spotted in a Jewish synagogue. Now, you'd have to know who Caiaphas is. He was the high priest that was ruling at the time Jesus was on earth. So he lived in the first century. And to speak of him as living today certainly should capture the attention of someone. Now, when we say that, we want you to understand that we're taking this from an actual scripture in the Bible. We want to look at a particular scripture and talk about Caiaphas. Now, we know that the practice of the Jews was to go into the synagogues and teach, and no doubt, you know, the high priest would also visit the synagogues, as well as his duties and role in the offerings and the sacrifices of God in the temple. But when we say that Caiaphas was spotted in the Jewish synagogue discussing his last meeting with Christ, that implies that Caiaphas is yet alive today. So that's the essence of what we are going to talk about. And the reason that we say that is because of a passage that we find in our New Testament. So we want to look at that passage, and we want to talk about it from the perspective that Caiaphas is yet living today. Now, there's a reason that we say that, and it's important on the matter of the second coming of Christ. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 26. This is when Jesus is on trial, and the Jews are trying to find a false witness against him to testify against him so that they can have reason or occasion to put him to death. But they do not find any witnesses who can verify the claims that are being made. So they end up finding false witnesses. They were actually looking for some truthful witnesses, so let me correct that. They were looking for some witnesses who could testify that, to the truth of Jesus's crime or his alleged crime, what they had accused him with, but the point was they were unable to find any such person. They were unable to find anyone who could come and truthfully testify, and so they ended up finding some false witnesses, or some false witnesses finally came. But when we open it in Matthew 26, I'm going to start reading at verse 57. This is after they had seized Jesus, when the disciples had fled from him after they had seized him. The Bible says, "And those who had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death." You see, they knew that the claims of Christ were true. The reason that they were doing the things that they were doing was because if Jesus' claims were true, it meant that they were going to lose their status. They were going to lose their power. They were going to lose the control over Israel, and possibly could have been some filthy lucre involved as well. Usually is when people in power are doing things that are wrong and doing things that are violations of the law. But nevertheless, the point is that the Bible says the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. So they were looking for some false testimony, but the Bible says they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none, but at last two false witnesses came forward. So they went through this long lineup of people that were trying to bring a case against Christ, and apparently they were doing such a bad job of lying about it that it just didn't even sound plausible to people who were underhanded and were looking for the slightest thing that they could find to bring an accusation or charge that they could hold up in court. But finally, two witnesses came forward, and the Bible says they were false witnesses, and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." Now, their witnesses were still false because they misunderstood the words of Jesus. Jesus, when he spoke about the temple, he was not talking about the temple of God. He was talking about the temple of his body, according to John 2 and verse 19. He says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He was talking about raising up the temple of his body. Now, he had spoken elsewhere, no doubt, according to Mark chapter 14 and verse 58, that he would build the temple of God, and yet some thought that, apparently confused the two sayings in thinking that the building of the temple of God, that is, a house not made with hands, because that's what he said, "Destroy this temple made with hands, and I will build another house of God made without hands." And so he was talking about building the spiritual temple of God, and they misunderstood it to mean that he was going to tear down Herod's temple, and or if that temple were destroyed, he was going to rebuild it. So for that reason, they considered him to be a heretic. Now, the case being, therefore, that he was going to build the temple after his resurrection, but he had promised them that you destroy me, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. So they had that passage confused. They had that testimony confused. They couldn't make heads or tails of it simply because they didn't understand the scriptures. Now the Bible goes on and says in verse 62, "And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.'" So the high priest put him under oath and asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" That's what Christ means. Are you the anointed one? Are you the Hebrew Messiah, the Messiah that is spoken of in the Hebrew scriptures? Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." Now he acknowledges, "Yes, I am the Messiah." Now before he didn't want to tell many people that during his ministry because he didn't want to bring on any premature attack on himself kill him. Because all things in the scriptures had to be fulfilled. And the very fact that they're going through this process was evidence of the fact that the scriptures had to be fulfilled and not one word of the scriptures could be broken. So the Bible says, "It is as you said, nevertheless I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Let me take a moment before we get into the discussion of this text to once again remind you of the number to call to ask your question. The number is 646-378-1919, 646-378-1919. Our topic of discussion today is Caiaphas spotted in the Jewish synagogue discussing the last meeting with Christ. Now, this is the trial that Jesus had to go through just prior to his crucifixion. He had been up all night. They were not allowing him to sleep, and they were taking him from judgment hall to judgment hall. At least they would do that. But right now, he is before Caiaphas, the high priest, and Caiaphas is looking for an occasion to put him to death. And so he says, "Tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Now, that's equivalent when it says that I put you under oath. That's the equivalent to us, you know, taking the oath upon a Bible in court and saying that we affirm or swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Well, that's the oath, the kind of oath that he put Jesus under, that he would not lie to him because he was under oath. In other words, Jesus was not going to perjure himself. He was not going to commit perjury, but he was going to tell the truth under oath. So there could be no fabrication about it. There could be no deception about it. There could be no confusion whatsoever, but simply to tell the truth plain and simple. So here are the words of Christ in connection with that. He said, "Nevertheless, it is as you said, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Now, what did Jesus mean when he tells the high priest, when he tells Caiaphas that hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power? Now, let's take a look at the text. When he says, "It is as you said," it's important when we're studying the Bible to make sure that we properly properly identify the person to whom the words are spoken. When Jesus said, "It is as you said," he was speaking specifically, pointedly, and directly to Caiaphas, the high priest. So he's saying, "Caiaphas, it's as you said." So the "you" in the text refers to someone who was living contemporary with Christ within the first century generation. And that should be very well understood by anyone who approaches the passage. And we hope that no one approaches it under any different guise. But nevertheless, he's speaking directly to Caiaphas, just as the text says. Now, the next thing is that he says, "Nevertheless, I say to you." So once again, he is speaking to Caiaphas, the high priest. "Nevertheless, I say to you." So he's talking to Caiaphas, the high priest, about the coming of the Lord. And he says to him, "I say to you. Nevertheless, I say to you." So again, that's the second occurrence that Jesus is speaking to him. Now, what did he tell Caiaphas. What did he say that Caiaphas was going to see or experience? The Bible says, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now Jesus told Caiaphas that hereafter he was going to see. That is, not at that moment when he was in the presence of Caiaphas, but he said sometime thereafter Caiaphas was going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, what did he mean by that? He was actually telling Caiaphas that Caiaphas was going to experience or live until Jesus returned. Caiaphas was going to be present at the parousia, at the coming of Christ. Now, this is why we stated in the lesson title that Caiaphas was spotted in a Jewish synagogue discussing the last meeting of Christ. Because if Jesus told him he was going to live until the second coming, he simply said, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. That's what that passage means. It means that Caiaphas was going to still be alive and actually witness the coming of Christ. Now, if we say that this is not true, all we're saying is Jesus is a liar. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. So it is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So when we look at the passage, the statement is very plain, it's very clear. Jesus spoke to Caiaphas and he said, it is as you said. That's a direct message to Caiaphas. And he said, nevertheless, I say to you, that again refers to Caiaphas. And then thirdly, he says, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, Caiaphas understood that Jesus was talking to him. He understood that Jesus had made a claim to be a divine being, that Jesus made a claim for divinity. That's why Caiaphas was so disturbed over this point when Jesus finished his testimony. And remember, this is testimony under oath. So Jesus, you know, was under oath and saying that Caiaphas was going to live, that he was going to remain alive until the second coming of Christ, until the parousia. Now, did Jesus perjure himself? Did he lie under oath and yet claim to be the Son of God? He said that he always spoke the truth. As a matter of fact, he called himself the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And thus, in saying this, Jesus testified under oath that the words that he spoke to Caiaphas were true. Now, in verse 65, the Bible says, then the high priest tore his clothes saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Now let's talk a little bit about why they viewed the statement of Christ as blasphemy. You see, when Jesus said that you are going to see me sitting at the right hand of the power, now notice that power is capitalized here. The power is God. He's talking about being at the right hand of the Father. Now, they knew that the person who would sit at the right hand of the Father was the Messiah. Remember, that's the question that Caiaphas asked him. Tell us under oath whether you are the Messiah or not. We want to know, and do not equivocate, do not vacillate, do not try to escape this question. Tell us very plainly, tell us very clearly, and tell us without any quivering about it, are you the Messiah? So Jesus said, it is as you said. Nevertheless, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, let's take a look at the source of this passage. It's taken from Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, and when we note Daniel chapter 7, we're looking at the discussion concerning the Ancient of Days. We're looking at the discussion concerning the Messiah, the divine Son of Man, that was going to come within the last days. Now, Daniel says in verse 9, Daniel 7 in verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. And the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Now, verse 13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Now, this is the reference to the Son of Man that's made in Matthew 26 and verse 64. One like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. This is Jesus' statement to Caiaphas the high priest. When he says one like the Son of Man is coming on the clouds of heaven, Jesus said, hereafter you will see me sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now notice, in Daniel chapter 7, the Bible says, he watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. That's the precise language taken from Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64. Jesus said, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power. And the scripture says the Ancient of Days was seated. And then it says that 1,000 thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. You see, Caiaphas is playing the role of the high priest who has the authority to convict under oath during the close of Jesus' ministry. But Jesus said to him, one day the table is going to turn. I'm going to be in the position where you are, but I'm going to be sitting on a higher throne. I'm going to be sitting on the throne of God, and you're going to see me coming on the clouds in heaven. And so, verse 13 again, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom the one which will not be destroyed. Now, understand that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the power. Now, if he is claiming to be the Son of God, we have to understand that in Daniel chapter 9, or rather in Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible calls Jesus the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. So he's called the Everlasting Father. Now, if God is called Father, and Christ is called Father, then we should understand that God can be called Ancient of Days, and Christ is called the Ancient of Days. So when we look at this text, we see that both of them are divine. Now, when we go down to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 22, notice that it is the Ancient of Days who comes. The Bible says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints, this is verse 21, and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. That is the coming of Christ. The Ancient of Days comes. So in Matthew 26 and verse 64, when Jesus tells Caiaphas, "It is as you said, nevertheless, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man coming or sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven," Jesus is telling Caiaphas that you are going to live to see the second coming of Christ. Now, let's ask a few questions here. And by the way, we have about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. Let's give you an opportunity to give us a call and ask your question. The number to call is 646-378-1919. Again, that number is 646-378-1919. 646-378-1919. So give us a call, ask your question. Now, the text shows us that Christ would come in the lifetime of Caiaphas. So we want to ask you, have you seen Caiaphas in one of the Jewish synagogues today? Have you seen him in Jerusalem? Perhaps he is taking a flight, traveling around the world, maybe doing a tour, a speaking tour, to talk about that meeting that he had with Christ, to say that he's going to continue to be alive until Christ returns, because that's what Christ promised. But you see, that was almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus made that statement to Caiaphas. And if the second coming has not occurred, as many people are teaching today, if it has not happened, if Jesus has not returned, then Caiaphas must yet be alive, because that is the promise that he made to him. Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. You see, what Jesus was promising to Caiaphas was that Caiaphas was going to be alive when he returned. If the coming of the Lord is yet in our future, meaning that it has been delayed and extended for almost 2,000 years, then it must be the case that Caiaphas is still alive. And thus, our topic, Caiaphas spotted in a Jewish synagogue discussing the last meeting with Christ. We're not suggesting that Caiaphas was still alive or is still alive today. We know that long ago he passed away, long ago he died. But let me suggest to you that Caiaphas lived in the first century, that he died in the first century, that Jesus cannot lie, that he was under oath when he made the statement, and that means that Jesus returned before Caiaphas saw death. That's the same statement that he made in Matthew 16:28, which we discussed on yesterday, where Jesus said, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with all his holy angels, and then he will reward everyone according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they have seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And that's why Jesus promised even to Caiaphas, who had him under oath, made him swear before God and man that he was the Messiah. And Jesus, acknowledging and testifying to that fact, said, "I know you don't believe me, but I'll tell you what. Hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." He tells Caiaphas, "You're going to remain alive until I return." So many people are believing today that Jesus has not returned, and therefore their only logical conclusion is to believe, or be led to believe by their conclusion, that Caiaphas must still be alive somewhere walking around on this earth. I'd like to speak with him. Could you please find him for me? If you're going to believe that Jesus is a liar, that the Bible is false, that the Holy Spirit testified of a lie rather than the truth, and that Satan told the truth, then you might as well pack up your Bibles. You are doing a great disservice to Christianity. You are destroying the foundations of faith, and you are causing much destruction in the world as a result of these false beliefs. The Bible says Jesus returned in the first century before some standing in his presence died. That's all the time that we have for today. We certainly are grateful for your taking the time to listen. We look forward to being back with you on tomorrow. Visit our website at www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's www.lastdays-eschatology.net to learn more about Jesus' return in the first century. I'm William Bell, saying have a very pleasant good morning.